Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Remember Palestine with me, Lauren Booth. This week, family members of Palestinian prisoners protested against the treatment of prisoners held in Israel. Concerns have been raised since a spate of cell raids by the prison services have been conducted. An unknown number of Palestinian prisoners were injured during the harsh attacks. This June, a report by the Detainees and Ex-Detainees Society showed Israeli forces routinely use unethical methods during interrogations with prisoners, including children. Today's RP meets a prisoner solidarity activist and asks why the international silence. But first, this report from Hannah Cassis from the West Bank.
Numerous human rights organizations, such as Al-Haq and Al-Damir, as well as Physicians for Human Rights Israel and the International Committee of the Red Cross, have all voiced grave concerns for the lives of Palestinian prisoners currently on hunger strike in Israeli jails.
We are very worried about the life of my brother. Every day we hear new reports that his health is worsening and that his health is constantly deteriorating. We are very worried. We just brought our mother back from the hospital yesterday. She had a nervous breakdown and irregular heartbeat from this. The situation in our house is very bad, especially the condition of our mother.
According to Al-Damir, Hassan Safadi is experiencing such extreme fatigue that he is unable to sleep and instead falls unconscious 2 to 3 times each day. His immunity level has fallen dangerously low, there is fluid in his lungs, and he has developed problems in his liver and kidneys. He is also experiencing chronic pain in his upper waist and joints. In addition, Hassan has been beaten by prison guards on multiple occasions.
They used every method against us, from solitary confinement to taking away our clothes and personal belongings. During the winter, they would keep the window in the cell open and take away our bed sheets. Of course, there was no electricity in the cell. The prison guards would make a lot of noise and eat in front of us. They threatened us with poison and death.
Both Samer al-Bark and Hassan Safadi have reached a very critical stage in their prolonged hunger strikes, with doctors noting that they are at immediate risk of death. Nonetheless, both Samer and Hassan are still denied family visits and access to independent physicians and independent medical care.
I only want an opportunity to see him, if only for 5 minutes. I have not visited him once, not even once from the day he was imprisoned. I requested to visit him in the hospital during the first hunger strike, but was refused. I just want to see Hassan, to see how he was doing, to check up on his health and the circumstances that he is in. I have not visited him once.
Hassan Safadi and Samer Bark are two of approximately 250 Palestinian prisoners currently held in Israeli jails without charges or trials.
Rather than being treated in a civilian hospital with adequate health care, the four Palestinian prisoners on hunger strike are instead shackled to their beds in Israeli Ramleh prison hospital. For Remember Palestine, Hannah Cassis, Occupied Nablus.
Joining me now is an old friend of this show, the co-founder of the Free Gaza Movement and a campaigner for Palestinian justice, Greta Berlin. Greta, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here, and I'm delighted to talk to you.
We were watching there about the plight of the Palestinian prisoners. We'll get to the Free Gaza Movement in the next section. But let us talk about your experience in Gaza, because when you were there in 2008, you will have met families who had prisoners in Israeli detention.
And we did. We met with the families when we were there. We met with them. We talked to them. Many of those people are still in prison. Mm. You're talking now, what, 4 years later? Mm. They're still in prison. I mean, Gaza is its own prison. And it's an enormous injustice that many of them have no charges. They are thrown into jail. You've got children now who are in jail who are 12, 13, 14 years old. What happened to them? They threw stones.
I think, Greta, what you will have seen firsthand and what you will know from speaking to Palestinians is the injustice on the families. Often we can say figures, 4,700 Palestinians in prison, and then people will say, well, what did they do? Maybe they deserved it. What is the knock-on effect of 4,700 prisoners?
I think the hardest thing for all of us who met with those prisoners is to talk to the mothers. Any of us who are mothers, It broke our hearts. They sat there with the pictures of their sons, many of whom they hadn't seen in decades, a few of them. And they didn't understand. They could not understand why this was happening, why they couldn't be released. I think that was the hardest thing for anyone who's a mother, was to talk to those mothers.
And of course, the inhumanity of not being able to get any visitation rights at all, which I don't think is mirrored anywhere else so specifically in the world as in Israel against Palestinian detainees. But Greta, I'll be coming back to you in a couple of moments to talk about the Free Gaza book. Because joining me now via the internet from Canada is Charlotte Cates. Charlotte is from the organisation Samidoun, a prisoner solidarity group. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
Let's talk. We were talking a little bit about the impact on families of prisoners in custody. Do you have Palestinian prisoner families who you deal with personally?
Yes, in fact, just as Greta was saying, several of us who are involved in Samidoun recently returned from a delegation to Gaza, where we met with both former Palestinian prisoners and with family members of current prisoners. And at the time when we were in Gaza, Mahmoud Sarsek was on his hunger strike and was still being held. And we met with families there who were protesting in the tent of solidarity with Mahmoud Sarsek for their own family members who are continuing to be held. And I mean, as was said earlier, every Palestinian prisoner, every Palestinian family has fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters who are held in the prisons of the occupation. Even outside Palestine, families have cousins and uncles and aunts, and nephews and nieces who are held in prison. It's such a central part of the Palestinian experience because mass imprisonment has been such a key weapon in the hands of the occupation against the Palestinian people.
Charlotte, what specific actions does your solidarity group take to help the prisoners or at least expose their cause to a wider public?
We do a number of activities to raise awareness outside Palestine about what's happening to Palestinian prisoners. Obviously, the Palestinian prisoners themselves are on the front lines using their bodies, doing that in direct confrontation with the occupation every single day and with Israeli apartheid every single day within the prison walls. But we engage in demonstrations, forums, holding events and activities, reaching out to the press, working to get media coverage of the issue, organizing letter writing and petitioning campaigns, not just to the Israeli regime, which we know isn't going to suddenly, you know, have a change of heart about how to treat Palestinian prisoners. However, we do want to make it clear that the eyes of the world are on Palestinian prisoners and that people are watching and that this isn't something that's being hidden from people around the world and that the Israeli occupation will be held accountable for what it's doing to Palestinian prisoners, but also to world governments who are certainly complicit in what's happening, particularly Western governments like that of Canada and the United States, which provide full military, economic, political, and diplomatic support for the State of Israel as it engages in a campaign of terror against Palestinian prisoners and their families and against the Palestinian people. And we have, if you visit our website, samidoun.ca, S-A-M-I-D-O-U-N, you'll find a number of actions that you can take directly. You can send letters to the Israelis, to your government officials, and to the International Committee of the Red Cross.
Charlotte,
calling for action.
Let me just intervene there by pointing out that when soldiers of the America and Britain committed atrocities or their lackeys committed atrocities in Bagram, in Guantanamo Bay, in these bases against Muslim prisoners, there was an outcry and, you know, a president had to call at least for one of these places to be closed. Are there any similarities between the sorts of abuses in Bagram, for example, and in Israeli prisons against Palestinian detainees? If so, what are they?
Well, one thing that we have seen is that torture techniques travel around the world, and torture techniques travel through sharing of training, sharing of intelligence information, and sharing of strategies. And so what we started to see in Guantanamo and Bagram was the use of torture techniques that had been perfected in Israeli prisons against Palestinian prisoners for many years. At the same time, we see the absolute impunity that's happened around Guantanamo and Bagram. We see the fact that, you know, 4 years after the promise to close Guantanamo, it's still open and still holding
prisoners. Okay, Charlotte, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there, but please keep us updated with the work that you do, and I'm sure we'll see you again. Thanks for joining us. It's time now for our weekly look at growing international resistance to Israeli apartheid.
Jewish American activist Ray Abelia disrupted Netanyahu's speech in US Congress in protest of Israel's crimes against humanity. Abelia unfurled a banner and demanded justice for Palestinians from the Israeli leader.
She was yelling, "No more occupation, stop Israel war crimes, equal rights for Palestinians, occupation's indefensible."
She was tackled to the ground by members of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and taken to hospital, where she was arrested and charged with disrupting Congress. Pro-Palestinian campaigners called for a halt to the opening performance by an Israeli dance company, Bat Shiva, at the Edinburgh International Festival. 300 activists gathered outside Playhouse Theatre before the show, preventing Israeli Culture and Sports Minister Limor Levant from entering. The protest stopped Bat Shiva's performance three times as campaigners chanted slogans to speak out against Israel's occupation. Remember Rachel is a global campaign in remembrance of 23-year-old US activist Rachel Corrie. Rachel was run over by an Israeli bulldozer in 2003 when she attempted to protect a Palestinian home in Gaza from being demolished. Supporters across the globe have spoken out in support of Rachel's bravery and courage. Rachel's parents continue to support their daughter's cause by setting up the Rachel Corrie Foundation and promoting pro-Palestinian causes.
Joining me now is our Gaza correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, who has been with the families of Palestinian prisoners protesting this week in Gaza. Ashraf, tell me about the experiences of some of the families who you've spent time with this week, missing family members in Gaza.
Hi, Lauren. I'll give you the example of the Al-Rakhawi family. Their father, Akram Al-Rakhawi, is still in Israeli prison. He went on hunger strike for 104 days, and he only stopped his hunger strike during the holy month of Ramadan, the fifth of Ramadan, due to his deteriorating condition. He has 8 children, and including twin boys whom he was arrested only a year after they were born. And these boys were telling me how they can't even remember how the touch of their father was. And actually just brought tears to my eyes a couple of days ago when I interviewed these kids. They keep saying that they want to have a father among them. You know, they want to feel that the whole family is there. They want to be with the father and the mother. They kept telling me how they really missed him when the school year started on the 1st of September. Saying, you know, all the kids in school, their dads went with them, you know, to take them to the new school or to the new classes, and they didn't have their father with them. It was really hard, and his daughter, I remember she was telling me, I don't know what I would do if I get married. Will my father be there to give my hand to the husband? It was really touching. And also, sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. Ashraf, these stories are touching and they are mimicked by hundreds or thousands in Gaza. How many families approximately are missing men in Gaza right now due to Israeli detention?
I would say at least 100 or maybe more. And it's really hard for them. It's not the only the fact that the father is not there. It's also the income that the father brings in. You visit these families and they're impoverished, completely impoverished. They hardly have any money to buy food or clothes. Although they get assistance from the Hamas government in Gaza, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have six kids and their mother, they have the school, they have the clothes, they have the place to rent or a house to build. They don't have the resources to survive. It would be appreciated if someone could help the families of prisoners in Gaza and in Palestine in general.
And what were the families calling for specifically this week? What was the protest over?
They demanded the immediate release of the prisoners, especially those who are on hunger strike, those whose lives are in grave danger. What was really unique about the rallies in the last few days is that Palestinians were united under the Palestinian flag. They were not holding the flags of the factions, and it just shows that their hearts and minds were united behind this the issue of the prisoners.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us, Ashraf. We'll speak to you again soon, I'm sure. Still with me in the studio is the co-founder of the Free Gaza Movement, Greta Berlin, who is here to tell us about a new book telling the full story of the first sea voyage to Gaza to break the siege. Greta, this book is original and different from other things that have been written about the Free Gaza Movement. How?
Well, it's different because it's got 24 voices in it. And that was 24 voices out of the 44 people who went on board and also the people waiting in Gaza. So it's a kind of an anthology of how hard it was for us to put this project together. Mm. How patient the Palestinians were who were waiting for us in Gaza, and then what actually happened to us when we got on board those boats, because we were sick, our communications were cut off. The book is very funny sometimes because, for example, we put the wheel on backwards on one of the boats.
So tell me about that. I remember I was on the Free Gaza, I always say that when you steered left, it seemed to go right. And at one point, it backed into a dock when it was supposed to be going forward. It was a floating joke.
Yes, it was a floating joke. It was a floating shipwreck. It was a floating disaster. It was a floating piece of crap, I think, is what our Irish person said. And we didn't realize that. There was nobody on those boats out of the 44 people. There were perhaps eight who knew what they were doing. The rest of us just got on the boat.
And people think it was just a 36-hour crossing, which, quite frankly, we'll get to in a minute, was horrendous enough. But there were people on the boats for how long?
Well, the boats, because you were part of that, because the boats actually came out of Greece. The entire journey was 1,200 miles long. 1,200 miles.
1,200 miles.
Because the boats had been hidden in Greece. We had realized that the Israelis had blown up a boat in 1988 and had killed three of the organizers. That was called the Ship of Return. So we wanted to make sure that those boats were well hidden. Mm. Well, they were. But they were just small fishing boats. They had to get out of the ports in Greece, go down to Crete, come across the Mediterranean, go to Cyprus, and then go to Gaza. And these are small fishing boats that were actually equipped for maybe 11 people.
And what sort of threats? Did you encounter any threats? Outline those. What's in the book?
Well, because I was in charge of the media, I got lots of threats because my phone number was posted. I remember one man just before we left said, he called me up and he said, do you know how to swim? And I said, what? He said, well, do you know how to swim? I said, what? And he yelled at me, do you know how to swim? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, you sound like you're underwater. Now, I thought that was funny. Because what happened to all of us is that we were so accustomed to being threatened. You were threatened, your children were threatened. We were so accustomed to being threatened that we started turning it into a joke.
Yep. And let's remember, these are Zionist sympathizers, stooges, paid. People are paid to threaten activists trying to do good for the Palestinian cause. Isn't that correct?
Yes, and I'm still being threatened. I mean, the book, actually, I have the book. But the book, when the book came out, I'll hand it to you.
Thank you.
When the book came out, it came out on Amazon. And it's only been out for 2 weeks because it came out on the fourth anniversary of our sailing, which mm-hmm. was August 23rd. The vitriol of the Zionists that have written negative reviews about this book is amazing.
The vitriol will carry on, but this is a brave summary of people trying to do their best for the Palestinians and how the Palestinians wait for justice to be done. This week's resistance poet is Shabir Razvi.
Gaza, gods against Zionism always. The God of Abraham eliminated Nimrod, the oppressor. The God of Moses defeated Pharaoh, the aggressor. Gods against Zionism always. The God of David liquidated Goliath, the monster. The God of Solomon created a gratis of golden age. Gods against Zionism always. The God of Lot annihilated a nation for abomination. The God of Noah drowned all who were in transgression. Gods against Zionism always. The God of Jesus gave the world a Messiah to rid of injustice. The God of Muhammad sent the prophet to humanity for peace. Gods against Zionism always. God, the supreme authority, is not with the oppressors. God of love is with the wretched of the earth. Gods against Zionism always. God of justice is for treating all persons equally. God of ethics is not with apartheid or Zionism. Gods against Zionism always. The source of destruction is Zionism. The fountain of terrorism is Zionism. Gods against Zionism always. Humanity ceased to exist when Israel was established. History's stain will be removed when Zionism is abolished. God against Zionism always.
And just a reminder, Freedom Sailors, all of the proceeds go to charities in Gaza. That's all we have time for in this week's show. See you next time.